makeup.
Come on, no, hey, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Mike.
Stand clear.
Mike, get off of the lift, please.
I'm fine.
Come on
I'm
now.
Fine. I'm fine. Here Mike, we go.
Would you look? Get off of
the lift. Oh, oh, oh! We'll get somebody to clean that up.
We're the ones that gotta clean that up.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan and Nick here with You Know Weiss this week. A little switcheroo. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Nick at NickZeraris. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right. Well, this is coming out on Wednesday, so a bit of an old news and preview pod this week. But devastating win against the Washington Commanders this past week. I mean, they gave the game away. I mean, if you're even the slightest bit of a conspiracy theorist, 5 turnovers, and they still almost won the game. I think they were 9-point favorites. Giants went outright, and the tank is, I don't want to say it's dead, because if they are able to lose against Patriots this week, I think ESPN still gives them a greater than 30%. It might even be 50% chance. Nick, you might have the numbers of getting the second overall pick behind the Carolina Panthers, who will hopefully stick with Bryce Young. So that's a bit. Still doing the bit. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great game with a bad result. I think that's the best way to put it at this point. Do you agree or disagree?
It was very bizarre. It just, the entire game, the energy was kind of weird. Like, DeVito hit the throw to Saquon in the corner of the end zone, and I audibly gasped because I didn't know he could do that.
Yep.
Like, that was genuinely the first good throw he's made in 4 games he's gotten into. The entire game was weird. As you said, the 5 turnovers. I mean, DeVito got sacked like, what, 9
times? I think it was 6 turnovers. I think I tweeted 5 and everyone was correcting me, 6. But yeah, can we go back a few weeks to the Jets, Danny, almost called him Danny DeVito, the Jets, Tommy DeVito slander? Like, can we finally put that to bed? Like, my entire, listen, the take the entire time was that was the game plan. I mean, listen, people were, why is this guy on the roster if he can't? Guys, he's a UDFA from fucking Syracuse. Like, Brian Daboll is not letting him air it out against a top 5 defense in the NFL. Not going to happen. Now, he's got a few weeks under his belt. Knows he's the starter. He's a bit more comfortable. And he was able to beat the Commanders a few times. Like, I thought he played very, very well. I don't know. I'm curious what you think. Like, I don't even know at this point if I'd consider him a backup. I mean, listen, if the plan is to draft a quarterback and Daniel Jones is going to be on the roster next year anyway, and they carry 3 guys, they try to stash him on the practice squad. I mean, you look across town to the Jets would fucking love Tommy DeVito right now.
You're not wrong. I don't disagree with you. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, for Tommy DeVito, this is his one real opportunity to get himself in the NFL forever, basically. You
right.
Do a good stretch run here as a back, as the replacement for a starter, and this goes well for you. You can parlay that into training camp invites and probably backup jobs for the next 5 years or so if he manages to squeeze out, you know, 1 or 2 more wins here. As a backup quarterback, wins are a stat for you. They use that to bolster your case. That was part of the reason I was shocked the Jets didn't bring in Colt McCoy, somebody who'd actually won some games as a backup. Tommy DeVito, he wins another game or two here. For Tommy DeVito stock, that's
not
tremendous.
Yeah.
For the Giants, it's atrocious. And you said it. I pulled it up here. If the Giants lose to New England, 47% of being a top 2 pick. So it's really in the cards. All they got to do is lose to Bailey Zappi, which that probably isn't as easy as it sounds.
No. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about Belichick at this point. That team is a disaster. I honestly think that the Patriots' lack of success since Brady left is more of an indictment on Bill, the GM, than it is Bill, the head coach. And I don't think he's been a particularly good head coach since he lost Tom. But the GMing has just been absolutely atrocious. The draft picks, specifically what they've decided to do at wide receiver, bungling Mac Jones. It's been just an outright catastrophe. They've been one of the hardest teams to watch this year, and that's saying something given the how down offenses around the league in general. Not even just quarterback play, just downright offenses. I saw a stat today that boggled my mind. The Chiefs and the Browns have the same exact record, and the Browns have scored more points than the Chiefs. So just what a weird season for the NFL in general, but specifically the offenses. I mean, for the quarterback class coming up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later in the episode. We'll definitely talk about it later in the episode. There are so many teams that need a quarterback, and it's a good year to need one. But again, quarterback play, offense around the league has been down. The Patriots offense is awful. It's garbage. I still think the Giants are plus 140 on the money line, so they're underdogs. I tweeted this earlier. Must lose, can't win. We're going to have to decide that later in the episode. Sorry, I keep getting sidetracked. Back to the Commanders game. Tommy played well, really well, given the circumstances. I mean, listen, I know the Commanders handed them the game, but can't pick your opponent, can't choose what your opponent decides to do. And he executed. It was great. Saquon, great game, especially after the comments he had the prior week. Good to see him not holding it against the team and balling out for yet another contract that I'm sure will unfortunately be with the Giants, but we can hope. And then the defense. Like, what do you make of the article that came out from Tony What's-His-Face? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Vaguely. I think I know who you're talking about.
He's the guy who posted the article that Kafka and Wink were on the chopping block effectively.
I feel like that's just out there as noise because the team feels like there's too much noise around the players on the team, and it's a lot better if that attention is on the coaching staff because that's easier for the team to manage. I think the Giants are very not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're very deliberate when it comes to leaking things.
It's state-run media.
Yes.
And John Mara is Kim Jong. So it's very, very like we approve it, we put it out. And it's actually interesting. So I'll bring this up. We all saw last week all the articles from the usual suspects who we all, let's say in quotes, are allegedly on the Giants payroll, where in the same week they all have stories coming out about Daniel Jones and about, you know, oh, he's such a great guy, yada, yada, yada. And Giants Twitter was just losing their minds thinking that this meant that the Giants weren't drafting a quarterback. So I sent some DMs around to some of the non-state-run media beat writers just asking their opinion. And I got one message back that was interesting. And it was effectively like, listen, I think John Mara just feels bad because everyone's piling on Daniel Jones and now he's injured. And they just wanted to take a little heat off him. So that goes back to your point. I think it's absolutely correct. They're still drafting a quarterback, especially picking this high in a class like this, especially with the injuries, the performance. So listen, that's what I heard. And again, it's not, I feel like Bobby right now who speculated on this. This is not factual. This is someone who's very much in the know, their opinion. I would tend to agree with it. And one other thing I'll say about this, we're all over the place right now, but the GM is not going to let the owner effectively dictate the remainder of his career. And by that, I mean, Joe Shane is not going to listen to the demands of John Mara if it means poor job performance down the road. If Joe Shane wants to draft a quarterback, he is going to draft a quarterback. And if ownership tells him no, I feel quite confident in Joe Shane telling him to fuck off or just outright quitting. And I'm sure Dable follows him out the door as well. It's not going to happen. I think John Mara will absolutely try to influence what goes on. I do not think that he has final say. And the other thing that I had heard when asking around after the slew of articles came out last week was that, and I feel like that this was out there too as speculation, but it's a tough sell. You know, the three of us were talking about it in our group chat last week. The Jones contract was a Joe Shane decision, right? That's a negative on him. I think, I don't remember what your opinion was, Nick, but I was very firm in just give him the tag, make him do it again, and let's see. And for you to then give that guy a lot of money and then less than a year later go to the owner and say, hey, sorry about that. Sorry for lighting a giant pile of your money on fire, but we need a new guy. It's a tough sell. So from that perspective, I can understand it a little bit.
I agree with you in that respect. The one thing I will say in regards to Jones, the owner, and Shane, but I do feel like we are all in agreement that was part of why they ended up tagging Barkley and giving Jones the extension was that the owner kind of leaned on them when it came to Barkley. So yes. I will agree with you that the long-term play out that they gave Jones that contract was Shane's decision because they did what they did with Saquon. But I do think the owner does still – I don't think Mara's got the final say on this, as you said. I don't think he's like Tepper or one of the other owners who's right. Or Mark Davis, where he's in the room when it comes to these roster decisions and the contracts. But I do think he had some say in, well, no, we can't let Saquon leave. We need Saquon here. So I think that's part of why we ultimately ended up with Jones. But yeah, I was in agreement with you then. And I'm in agreement with you now. A lot of this just comes down to you need to be able to sift through the tea leaves and have a decent bullshit detector,
right?
Because there's still another 7 weeks of the regular season to go and then the entire offseason to get to the point where the quarterback comes. The right. One thing I will say is we don't have Joe Shane's despicable predecessor here to leak who he's going to take second or third overall
right.
a month before the draft. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to.
Right. Although I will say, I won't say who, the Giants very much have their eye on one specific quarterback, and it may not be who everyone thinks. It is one of the top two guys. And I, again, just what I've heard, and I was very surprised to hear that. I'll leave it at that.
You're telling me you don't remember John Mara on the sideline at Colorado in Boulder a few weeks ago? You don't remember that? He was there to see Shador. You don't remember that?
That's good. Anyway, just to finish up on the Commanders game before we move forward, the defense, they got dudes.
Yeah.
They have dudes. Like, a little more tweaking, you know, one more pass rusher, solidifying the secondary once you figure out what you're doing with McKinney gone, another year of Banks. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the show, but I've said it in our Slack channel. So you're probably going to roll your eyes because I've said it like five times. You're smiling because you already know what I'm going to say. Every primetime game, it feels like the booth, and I'm talking about in general primetime, like non-Giants, like you tune into Sunday Night Football and the 49ers are playing. The booth is drooling over Fred Warner. There's always a linebacker that the booth is just obsessed with. They're constantly highlighting, oh, look at this guy. He's all over the field. Oh, my, he's making another play. To the point where they get so excited where even, like, when they're close to making a play and they don't make the play, they're like, oh, you see the athleticism. It just flashes across the screen. Giants finally have two of those guys in Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden. So kudos to Joe Shane for figuring that out. Kayvon not only beating the B-word allegations, beating the Olivier Vernon allegations, the first Wink Martindale pass rusher to surpass double-digit sacks in his time as defensive coordinator, and it's week 11. So unbelievable. Glad I was very, very wrong on that one. And listen, they play some not-so-great teams, some not-so-great quarterbacks. I know they're a bad team, but not going to be like very surprised if he can inch close to 20. I don't think he'll get to 20, but like 17, I think he's got I think in his last 16 games, he's got like 13 or 14 sacks. So he's averaging almost a sack per game over like a 16 game schedule at this point.
You're starting to see it now. He's getting comfortable. He's found a role for himself within the defense. Dex is a wrecking ball, which makes it where he's going to be getting one-on-one matchups on the edge, which is exactly what you want to highlight guys with that type of athleticism.
We got to talk about Dex too, because like, I feel like it's because the Giants are so bad, or maybe because as Giants fans, we're sort of just used to it at this point. Proper use of the word generational.
What he's doing at that position just doesn't happen. I mean, the counting stats just don't happen at that position.
This is like prime Vince Wilfork on steroids times 10, like what he's doing rushing the passer. It's absolutely insane.
It's Aaron Donald-esque. This is week to week. He is the most dominant player on the field for the Giants in most of their games where he's drawing double. And he had the one play against Washington where he had the three guys and he just went through all of them.
He's unbelievable. Pleasure to watch every week. Glad that he's locked up. Andrew Thomas, shut it down.
Yeah.
Sprained MCL. Like, this is where, because Brian Daboll's had some questionable, let's call it questionable is like insulting. Just straight up bad judgment when it comes to injuries and players coming back in when they shouldn't or coming back early. And really, I think it's probably on Giants' entire medical staff. But sprained MCL. He's already been banged up with the hamstring earlier this year. The season's lost. I do think that we get to a point, not now, but maybe in a few weeks, where there is a very liberal use of the injury list to hold certain guys out when you're in the final stretch for a top two or three pick. I genuinely think that we've spoken about this numerous times where we saw the videos of Shane in the locker room after improbable win, just crossing his arms because he's fucking spending his entire Saturday flying across the country to watch CJ Stroud. He's not letting that happen again.
No, in theory, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but at the same time,
no team's going to purposefully tank.
And the player's going to want to play. Andrew Thomas is going to want to play. So that's really someone is going to need to sit him down and not exactly tell him he needs to take a dive. But Andrew, it's okay if you don't play this week.
You know what? I'll disagree with you a little bit. For a guy like Andrew Thomas, who's locked up, he's got his money, I could see him being okay with it. A guy like Saquon, he's going to play through. You tear both ACLs, he's going to try to get out there.
I mean, I feel like Saquon comes up gimpy twice a game, and somehow he keeps going back in there. And he was good against Washington. I mean, Washington is his bread and butter. He scores his guarantee. He's got a guaranteed four touchdowns a year playing Washington twice.
Him and Daniel Jones just feast on the Commanders.
It's kind of inexplicable that as bad as the Giants have been over the last decade, they still managed to beat Washington, who, you know, Washington's made the playoffs more than the Giants in that
window. It's something that is absolutely despicable. It really is. It blows my mind. It enrages me that we're right now, we're sort of in like the golden era of bad coaching in the NFC East. Like if you were an Eagles fan 2 years ago, you had Ron Rivera, Joe Judge, and Mike McCarthy. Like, Nick Sirianni got the job, and we were all laughing, and here we are. Like, and now, I mean, it's no surprise that entire Commanders coaching staff is gone at the end of the season. So you wasted it. Like, you wasted an opportunity to field a competitive team and beat down on Mike fucking McCarthy and Ron Rivera. It enrages me, but yeah.
Missed opportunities, man. How many times has the Giants beating Washington fucked them over with a draft pick? I mean, at least three or four times in the last 5 years because they've been so unbelievably bad.
I mean, the Chase Young thing worked out in the end, but
yeah.
You know, the Chase Young, I don't know. That's more due to like injury, being on a bad team. And I do think Andrew Thomas is a unicorn for offensive lineman at the most important position, working out with the lack of development we've seen from this organization at that position forever, God bless him. And Chase Young, I saw, had a sack for the 49ers this week. So good for him. All right. What else we got on the docket?
Just looking at other teams, the Bears have Dobbs and the Vikings, Detroit, Cleveland, Arizona, Atlanta.
I'm still pissed that they blew that.
That was one of they should have beat Detroit. They should have. Detroit's a really good team, and you know they're going to go down the field. The Bears' defense is terrible.
Yeah,
but that they absolutely should have. That's the best game Fields has had in the NFL. Fields was legitimately good on Sunday.
I mean, they were. Goff couldn't do shit for 3.5 quarters. Like,
yeah,
you got to win that game. So I don't know what to say. Carolina's hopeless.
They're bad. They are hopeless. I really doubt. Then again, I was going to say, I really doubt they fire Frank Reich after 1 year where they let him pick the quarterback, because you're going to bring in a new coach and it's like, oh, I don't get to pick my guy and I'm tethered to this guy. I just feel like, and you fire Reich. I mean, that's what, 2-3 coaches in 2 years, because the interim they had when they fired Matt Rhule. I mean, that's a really hard sell who you're going to get to come in there and take over that team. I mean, they've got divisional games left, which are always funky. Tampa Bay might not have anything left to play for.
True.
Arthur Smith's one of the worst coaches in football, if not the single least logical person in the entire league. Green Bay, who's horrendous. And then Jacksonville's the best team they have left on their schedule. But I think Carolina could stumble ass backwards into a win between Tennessee, Tampa twice, New Orleans, Green Bay, Atlanta. I think there's one win in there for them. Just simply, it's really hard to lose every single game.
And we beat them on strength of schedule.
Yes, that does help if we end up with the same record. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good at least.
Arizona looks feisty enough where I'm not worried anymore. Kyler will win them one or two more games by himself. Yeah. He looks good.
Looks really good. I'm so happy, man. I've been such a Kyler fan for so long. I sent that tweet in our Slack. Like, he genuinely, and it's probably just because of the market he plays for, is the most underappreciated, not just quarterback, but athlete of like the last 10 years. Seriously. Like, between the baseball first round pick, between the football first overall pick. Was he a first overall pick? Guy's a freak. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's healthy. And I'm glad he's going to lead the Cardinals to a better draft pick.
Hey, man, they end up in a spot where they can take the Notre Dame tackle or the Penn State tackle and add it to the guy they took last year. They'll have two bookend tackles, the quarterback. They got some receivers. That's not an awful offense personnel-wise. Gannon has them trying. Like, after Cliff the last couple of years where they just look like dog shit with no real plan, I don't know if Gannon's a good coach or not, but they're at least playing hard, which is more than I could say about them under Cliff, where they were just a disaster.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to just not have Kyler for the whole season. Again, like the Giants have played hard the whole season, with the exception of the errant Xavier McKinney comment. Like, this is a team that feels unified, and that's an indictment on coaching. Same thing for the Cardinals. Like, that, it's a good sign for a head coach that in a lost season or a new regime, like, even the veterans are playing hard. So, good for them.
And then, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
Oh, I was just going to read. And then the Giants have New England, Green Bay, the Saints, Philly, Rams, Philly again. Looks like Philly's not going to matter, the game that happens after New Year's, the Week 18 game for them, because they still have the best record. And the San Francisco has, what, 3 losses now?
They lost three in a row.
It feels like Detroit's really the only chance of usurping Philly, and Detroit's going to have to pull some, not really lose rest of the way to make that happen. So that helps and hurts the Giants. The Rams, Stafford's probably not even going to play at that point. It'll probably be Wentz, which would be funny if Carson Wentz came into MetLife Stadium for the Rams.
Why do you say that?
Because I feel like Stafford's getting dinged up to all hell. I mean, the wrist, neck, the back.
I get it.
And they got nothing to play for. They're going to be like 5-10 at that point.
No, they. I mean, listen, that win this past week was big for them. Motivation. Yeah,
It kept them alive. I mean, listen,
They'll keep fighting, and they don't have any incentive to unless Stafford's like really hurt, and the thumb injury didn't seem too bad because he came back after the bye and he was fine. But
They're 4-6 right now, so they're still alive.
They're 4-6. They don't have 5 wins.
Yeah, they're 4-6. I just pulled up the standings while you were talking. Yeah, yeah. And then
need New Orleans and Green Bay to stay motivated because I got Puka and Kyren.
They didn't get Puka in the mix at all this week. He was really isolated
until Cup went down. and then it was Puka weeks 1 through 4 again.
What do you make of the fact that there's 5 good quarterbacks in the whole league right now? Because it feels like a wasteland out there.
It's weird. But it's funny because the NFL is very cyclical in that regard. Like I don't have like the quarterbacks of the list in front of me, and I'd have to spend like an hour researching this. But there were times like 3 to 4 years ago when it was like, yo, like there are some dudes here now. Like it's
a bad year. Because you had the crossover still. Yeah, because you still had the last generation of guys where you had Rodgers, Brady, Breeze,
Eli, Peyton, Ben, like
as the intersecting between the next group.
Rivers, right? Yeah, yeah. Like before their decline, and it was like, okay, like sort of just not great to be a quarterback declaring because every team either had a dude or had someone that they believed was their guy, and now we're like, okay, we found all those guys retired. We sort of know who that next gen is, and now it's time to fill in the gaps again. Like we've got like, I don't know, what would you say, like 5?
Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar. That's my 5-6. Yeah. Dak is in that class. Cousins, when he's healthy, is in that class. That's a starter. He's above average. You can win games with him because of him.
Hurts.
Yeah, Hurts for sure. That's disrespectful. I forgot Hurts. Yeah. I mean,
Kyler.
Kyler for sure. I would take Kyler over most guys. And then we're talking about a vast middle class of mediocrity and terrible quarterback play.
That was fewer than 10 guys that we listed.
Yeah. And it's weird because it feels like these guys come into the league more polished than they did 5 to 10 years ago, where guys didn't even play till year 2 or year 3. And now it kind of feels like they throw you in the fire. You're either good or you're out of the league in 3 years now. Like there's a good chance we're never going to see Zach Wilson play football again.
Right. I think that's probably like a positive indictment on NFL coaching. Like being able to translate guys from the college game to the pro game much more easily, like looking at what Stroud is doing this year, not just like offensive rookie of the year, but potential. I mean, he's not going to win it, but like until last week, he was being talked about as like, okay, like he's a fringe MVP guy. Yeah. So if you have the right coaching, and we looking at what Dable did with Tommy DeVito over the last 3 weeks, get him a Drake May, Caleb, dare I say, Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is fun. At the very least, you could talk me into it because of the tools. And that's always in. That's like, what you and I have long said is if you have the tools, I'm okay with the project.
Exactly.
Same thing with Anthony Richardson last year. Yes. We were both in the understanding of if you're going to take a guy up there, swing for the fences. Don't take Mac Jones.
So Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels, both love to use their legs. But Anthony Richardson, more of a Cam Newton, I'm going to run through a motherfucker face type runner. Jaden Daniels is much more of a Lamar runner. And Jaden Daniels couldn't throw a deep ball to save his life until this year. Now he is unfucking believable going deep downfield. So as a prospect, I mean, he's better than Lamar. He's better than Richardson. Like, I feel like people are sort of over complicating this a little bit where they're just so fixated on the top two guys for very obvious reasons. And then their brain just sort of goes to, all right, well, you know, JJ McCarthy could be it, you know, Penix. Yeah. He's got the injuries, but like
Penix and Bo Nix. Bo Nix doesn't interest me.
Fuck Bo Nix. I hate Bo Nix. Fuck Bo Nix. Yeah, but he's Jaden Daniels is very clearly QB3 to me. Like
I would agree with you. Very clearly.
Like he's polished in the same way that a lot of these other guys are, and he's got way more physical upside than any of them, I think. Like he's a better runner than Caleb. Like the way that Caleb runs is very Mahomes-like. Like he's not exceptionally fast. He's just really good at making guys miss. Like Drake May is sort of like big white guy fast, like a Daniel Jones or a Josh Allen. Like Jaden Daniels is Lamar fast with pretty good deep ball touch. Like you could coach the shit out of that.
I think the big issue is last year there were glimmers of it. He had the preseason buzz. LSU had a lot of buzz coming into this year. Yeah. This is the year they win the West, and they stumbled out of the gate. And that gave a lot of people the sense of, well, they're not very good. He's putting up good stats, but it's not on a good team. And it's kind of it's the old Bill Simmons. Can he be a good player on a good team, not just a good player on a bad team?
Yeah, but Anthony Richardson was putting up bad numbers on a bad team last year.
I agree with you completely. I think that's what's working against him. I think the fact he's been in college for so long, like he's only 22, but he's been around for a while. He was at a bad program at Arizona State and transferred to LSU and went with Brian Kelly. I see the vision for Jaden Daniels where, like, if the Giants are picking 5 or 6, I'm entirely fine with taking Daniels. Take your swing. Yeah. He has the tools where I feel like I trust Brian Daboll to know what to do with him.
100%.
That if you're going to take your guy, do it and believe in it. Because if you try and delay this more, which is why I don't think taking a lineman or a skill position guy makes sense, I don't think you're getting any closer. We were just talking about it in respect to there just aren't a lot of guys right now. You get one of those guys, you can cut in front of a lot of these teams that are in between you at the bottom and what's going to get you in the door of the playoffs. It's not going to take a lot to make the playoffs in the NFL right now. The Monday night football game in the playoffs this year, wild card weekend, is going to be disgusting. It is going to be like the Browns with PJ Walker against against Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers. It's going to be an atrocity to the sport of football.
Right. Yeah, 100% agree. I think a lot of people who either poo-poo Jaden Daniels or just don't know enough about him, just do some Twitter searches.
He's fun to watch.
He's so fun. He's so fun. And like that's an – I feel like I haven't watched LSU in a few weeks, but like they give up a lot of points, so they score a lot of points. And he – I mean, I like him a lot. So – and I, dude, it's so funny. He is getting the Lamar treatment right now. Like a lot of people are like, oh, what if the Giants went like Marvin Harrison Jr. in round one and Jaden Daniels in round two? No.
He will not be there.
We're past that.
McCarthy, I think, will get buzz because if Michigan goes undefeated, they make the playoff. He's never really impressed me. He's a decent college quarterback, but he's never really flashed.
He doesn't have the physical tools. The raw tools that makes someone exciting. Like he's like an average size, like super quick, like very accurate. Like maybe I haven't watched enough Michigan, but I feel like he's sort of like a fast Brock Purdy.
He doesn't have elite arm talent. He's not a freak athlete. He can move around a little bit. He's agile. He can scramble.
Get me wrong, but I'm not taking him top 10.
No, definitely not. Same thing with Penix. Bo Nix, I've watched too much Bo Nix in my life to ever be in even moderately interested. Lot of that Oregon offense is very gimmicky RPO underneath Auburn stuff. Yes. I watched enough Bo Nix at Auburn to know he does not process defenses fast enough to be. And he's also like 23 or 24, which, you're losing a year of development there.
And listen, as much as Penix is like very good at like, I'm sorry.
He feels too-y. He feels too-y.
Of course, because he's got like weird lefty motion, but Joe Shane is not hitching his wagon. Joe Shane is not going to say, "Hi, Mr. Mara. I just gave a quarterback with significant neck injuries and now a torn ACL a lot of money, and I'd like to use my top 5 pick on a 24-year-old quarterback who has previously torn both his ACLs." It's not happening. He's not hitching his wagon to that. I'm sorry. So you could throw him out the window. You could probably throw JJ out the window. And I think Jaden Daniels is QB3. I really do. I mean, we're going to see that hype skyrocket in the next, towards the end of the college football season, even into draft. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I recommend people check him out, watch him more if you haven't. I love him.
All right. One last thing before we get out of here. What do you make of the landscape right now? Because it feels like the Eagles in San Francisco are on one tier. Then it kind of feels like, the Ravens, the Chiefs on that next tier. And then it feels like everybody else. If you want to put Dallas in that tier with Kansas City, that's fine with me. But it really doesn't feel like anyone's all that good.
No, there's very few good teams. Even Dallas, like if Dallas, Dallas hasn't beat a team with a winning record this year.
No. So, like the Dolphins.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but like their game translates to the playoffs because it runs through their defense. Their defense just shuts people down and they score points. Same thing with San Francisco. Like, I think those are two teams that'll translate very well to the playoffs. And the Eagles are the Eagles. I mean, listen, it's going to be the NFC this year.
I think because even Kansas City, man, I mean, Travis Kelce can only do so much. You dare those guys to beat you. And you saw it last night. I mean, the Chiefs didn't play poorly last night, but the Eagles found a way. And that's usually what Kansas City does. I thought with 2 minutes to go, Mahomes getting the ball, okay, they'll come dink and dunk down the field. They'll hit Kelce for 125-yarder up the seam. Yep. They'll come right down 10, 15 seconds left.
And there's no way Kelce's totally healthy.
No, he's dinged up. He looks slow. He's not hit. He's not avoiding contact nearly as well as he usually does. Yeah. They're trying to scrape it together, but AFC will be very fun playoffs.
Who's the Noah Brown?
Justin Reed, something like that. Yeah, Justin Reed, I think. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they got two other tight ends that they're just like, all right, going to involve you a bit more. So yeah, it's weird. I mean, the Ravens could do it. Now Mark Andrews is out. Like, their defense is good enough. They're, again, like, that's another team that's sort of built for the playoffs. Like, really good running game, mobile quarterback, good defense. Like, they could do it. I want to say that they were my preseason pick, but I don't remember.
I have them in San Francisco. I think San Francisco is set up nicely here, where as long as losing to a fungus sucks. That dude's awesome, but they're in okay shape. I mean, you look around, Ravens are dinged up, Bengals are out of it, Dallas regular season good. All of the teams in the AFC North, I mean, the defenses are good enough where they'll hang around until the end. Even Cincinnati, who's basically fucked, will be in their games because of their defense.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's just such a weird year. Like, it feels like we sort of just know who's going to be in the last four.
I kind of agree with you, but then again, that's usually when we're wrong. When we feel like we know who the four. It really is. I mean, even the Bills at 6-5. Yeah, plenty of time, man. 6 games to go, 5 games to go for a lot of these teams. Plenty of time for things to get going.
Here's an interesting last question before we go. Who's your MVP?
I feel like I want to give it to somebody who's not a quarterback. Like,
me too.
I'd give it to run McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill. If there were ever a year, give it to a defense guy. Give it to Myles Garrett, who's, you know, a fucking animal. Someone like that. Because, like, Purdy will have okay stats, but
he's not going to have the numbers.
I don't think he will, because they don't put he's up. Not. They don't. I think McCaffrey, Tyreek, I think of the quarterbacks, Lamar probably has the best argument, even though he's not putting up great stats right now. Jalen Hurts will be in the conversation. I'd probably go McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey's the most impressive player I watch week to week.
It's funny because it's very narrative driven.
Yes, 100%.
Like, look at Josh Allen's numbers.
Yeah.
They're good. But the Bills just not good. Like, everyone's talking about his turnover problems. I think he's got like 21, 22 touchdowns, like 12 interceptions. Like, he's going to be like a 35 touchdown guy, 4,000 yards, team make the playoffs. And it feels like everyone's just sort of writing him off. Like, same thing with Tua, because it's the system, it's McDaniels, it's the weapons. Jalen Hurts is the favorite currently, I think, and for good reason. You're a quarterback of a 9-1 team, your offense is good. Okay. Sure, that makes sense. I really would love Tyreek to win it.
I could see it.
And I genuinely think he will be in the final conversation, because McDaniel strikes me as the coach where if you're a dude and you're carrying your offense and you say before the season, I'm breaking 2,000 yards this year, McDaniel and Tua are going to make sure he breaks 2,000 yards. And I think that they'll make sure he breaks it with ease. So 2,000 receiving yards for a receiver, got to be in the conversation.
I'd agree with you completely. I think that's a good class of about 5, Tyreek, CMC, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, and then whoever you want for that fifth spot, whether it's Josh Allen, whatever, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. So, whatever. It's going to be interesting. All right, let's wrap it up. We'll talk to you guys next week after the Patriots game. Yada, yada, yada. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe, resubscribe. 5 stars. You know the drill. See you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thanksgiving.